Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync call for November the 9th in the year 2021. My name is Joe McElvain. I'm your host. If those others on the call who are interested in saying their name so you can put a name to their voice, now's a great time to do that.
Hi, I'm Gord Tischer.
Hi, I'm Borja.
Hi, I'm Rad.
Hello, everyone. So we have a rather short auto-generated agenda today, beginning with in the Pony C repo, pull request 3919. Now, this is a draft PR that I have not yet undraftified. So this is not really meant to be merged yet. I'll just mention kind of what's going on here, though. I was asking around in the LLVM Discord about the best way to support building for the macOS M1/ARM64 machine from a macOS x86 64-bit machine. Somebody mentioned to me that there is a CMake flag that can tell CMake to do something magic, which I don't fully understand, but I'm guessing it's super cool, which is it's called CMake underscore OSX underscore architectures. And you can give it x86, 64 and ARM 64 there. And it builds all of the LLVM stuff as quote unquote universal binaries, where of course universe is just the Apple universe, of course, but it basically has both architectures embedded as slices in the fat binaries, both for like executable binaries as well as like the .a static libraries that we link against. So in theory, we could use this way of building LLVM create and do something similar when building Pony C, to create we probably don't want to do something similar. This is kind of where the tricky part comes in, which is something that has been talked about in the past, both on the pull request. Sean kind of obliquely brought this up, as well as I think it's been discussed in the Zulip in the past between Sean and Borja, looking at, you know, do we want to try to release Pony C or libponyrt as a quote unquote universal binary that supports both architectures of macOS? And the answer from Sean was a no, because of the complexity of, you know, everything is built in the compiler and the runtime to assume there's one architecture at compile time. So that's a thing, but it is possible to create, you could create a Pony C binary that is for x86 and one for ARM. And then there's a tool called LiPo that can kind of suck them together and emit one binary that works on either architecture. So I think it is feasible. I think the question is that desirable? And is that something that could be worked into our CMake lists somehow? I don't have answers to those questions yet, but maybe people here might have thoughts about, you know, is it desirable to try to build one Pony C that works on both architectures, or is it more desirable to try to set things up so that we build Pony C first for x86 on the x86 host on CI, and then build Pony C for ARM64 on the x86 CI, so like kind of cross compile it and then distribute them as separate binaries instead of joining them together, and then you use Pony up to get the specific one that you need. I mean, that seems like, I guess it's less moving parts and smaller binary sizes, so I'm not sure if there's an advantage to trying to get a universal binary for macOS. I don't know. I don't know much about how Pony Up works, though, so maybe somebody here knows more about that could weigh in on that aspect.
So I think, like you said, trying to Well, Gordon can comment on that, but trying to change the build system so that it emits universal binaries might be difficult. But the other way, I think it's the simplest way right now, probably emitting two binaries. And yeah, probably we wouldn't, I wouldn't even bother trying to merge it, to merge them if PonyApp can select between them. I have no idea on how we would be able to generate the M1 binary from the Intel machine. I have to look at the, like, I don't know which specific flags we would need to make that happen.
Yeah, I think I kind of understand the process now from a from a non-CMake level. So, like, you know, it would be effectively, you know, cross-compiling. So we would pass in the, I mean, well, first of all, we'd set for the Pony Arch, right, or whatever that C define is called, right? We'd have to set the correct architecture for the Pony code that switches based on architecture to know which one to use. And then there's, you know, Clang takes an argument for the target. So you can choose the correct triple for M1 to generate the object file. And then the only part I'm not super clear on is if we need to use a special linker or if the out of the box linker that we get on the macOS machines is able to, you know, is linked into the correct tool chain you know, all, like the correct libc and everything all the way down the line. I get the feeling that macOS Apple kind of just made it like so it's smart enough to know as long as you specify the right architecture then the linker can do it, but I haven't actually tried that part yet. Yeah, so far when I've been dealing with this, I've only generated the object file and then haven't gotten to linking it yet. So I think at the CMake level, we just want to make sure we could expose a way to select a different target architecture from what the host architecture is. There may be some assumptions baked into the CMake that assume the host architecture is the same as the target architecture. So we may have to do some CMake fiddling to make it work. But I, on a conceptual level, it's like setting the right target for Clang and using the right linker and the right linker flags.
Yeah, there's some stuff in CMake to build a 32-bit ARM. So we could probably build off of that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. We're already doing cross-compile in some places. So that's super cool. Yeah. Yeah, so the one change I applied in this PR, well, other than commenting out most of the CirrusCI.yaml to avoid wasting resources, because this is going to bust the LLVM cache. I didn't want to build LLVM on all these different platforms that are not affected by this change until we knew we wanted to make it. But yeah, setting that one flag for the dual architecture for LLVM would let us keep the same LLVM like cache across. Well, right now, Gordon, when we're cross compiling to 32-bit ARM, are we running that in the same task as a non cross compiled build, or is the cross compile its own separate task in CirrusCI?
It's its own separate task.
Okay,
but it's using the x86 libs. Because okay, we now include the x86 and ARM functionality in LLVM in the libs.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I we link statically against LLVM, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we would do something similar to what we're doing in ARM32. We'd We can reuse the same libs cache in CRCI, so we don't need to have a separate cache entry for the same thing. And we can make it build for both architectures, LLVM. It makes the LLVM .a file slightly larger, but when it comes time to link against a single architecture, you know, PonyC, it'll discard the extra slice. So it's not going to add... It's not going to add heaviness on the PonyC binary side to have both architectures for LLVM. And then, yeah, we would just need to make it work like the cross-compile for ARM, I think. And I think that's pretty straightforward, not really breaking new ground, I believe.
Yep. We'll see. What happens if you set that CMake value in the root level CMake file? Because that should build PonyC with that functionality then?
I have not tried it. That's an interesting question. I have not tried it.
I mean,
if it were really that simple, but I guess the thing that would not be that simple about that is, like, we have to tell Pony what the architecture is, right? I forget the name of the C defined, but there's like a flag and so we would be passing the wrong one, we had to build Pony C twice.
Yeah. I think, probably.
So that's what I think that's what we mentioned at the beginning of the call. And so I think that's the reason why I didn't try that, is because, I'm not expecting that to work in that same way.
Cool. Yeah, so building the runtime, I think it was easy. Well, easy. I added some CMake hack somewhere, and the resulting binary was already universal, but for building the compiler, I think it didn't work.
Runtime have some architecture specific stuff in it too?
Yeah. So from what I read, so ideally, I think when you run it, the operating system selects whatever slice that it wants to. But I'm not sure that when you're compiling, it generates if it applies both defines and separates them. I don't know.
Well, maybe it doesn't. I'm kind of expecting it. I mean, I don't know if you tried the runtime, but I would expect there to maybe be a problem, because I'm trying to figure out what the name of that. Yeah, so it's called Pony Arch, right? And where all do we set that? So this is if you're building the runtime as bit code. So that's not the one I care about. So if not, in the root CMake list, we have if not defined Pony Arch, then set Pony Arch to native. And so what I would expect, the question is, are there things in the runtime that depend on Pony Arch? Maybe there aren't. I thought there was definitely platform specific stuff in the runtime. But...
We used to have the atomics thing, but Son removed that. So I don't know.
Ooh, interesting. Well, I know we have platform specific stuff. Let me look at the OS socket, for example.
I was about to say, in the network stuff, there's architecture stuff, right? In the network stack.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what
with Windows, but I don't know if ARM doesn't make a difference there.
I'm blanking on where to look for this. We've got if defined platform is Windows, platform is Mac OS. Okay, so so it's in platform.h, which is common, so it's shared by both. And what we've got there is, so it's in source/common/platform.h. We've got if defined Apple, then we say it's Mac OS. That's cool. Where do we do if defined LP6? So yeah, we have, okay, interesting. So, so I think it might just work, because we're not using Pony Arch, the Pony Arch define, to anywhere here. Where are we using it? Are we using it anywhere? It's used for the link architecture. So that's the one place we're using it right now, I believe, is in Pony C when you're invoking the linker to create the final executable. If there was not a link arch specified in the invocation, then we use the pony arch define. So that's only in one place, and maybe we can make that happen differently on macOS. That's in the compiler, right? So in the runtime, like you said, actually, yeah. Would you mind like just tacking on to the branch, the work in progress branch that I started, and adding the flags that you had for building the runtime in CMake?
Yeah, but I think it's probably like, even if right now we don't have any differences with platform, we might add something like that in the future, right? We don't know.
Well, there is platform specific stuff, but I guess I didn't fully vocalize this. Like when we in platform common/platform.h, we're detecting it all based on we're looking for these like magic defines that are there in that the compiler puts there. So like the __Apple_ detect macOS, and then __LP64 to detect that part of the architecture. And then we're looking for like __ARM_ARCH. So like, I guess what I'm saying is that what you said earlier, Borja, about the like internally, it's like invoking, it's like separate invocations of the compiler that get merged together kind of automatically for you. And I was worried about this pony arch flag that we need to explicitly pass in because we don't know what value to give it, but we're not using that anywhere in the runtime. And so the runtime can just be a universal binary that that has a slice for each, and we're using the platform flags provided by that are like the built-in ones provided by the C compiler for all of our platform specific stuff instead of relying on the pony arch that we're passing in explicitly. So I think it should be okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So it's not that there's no architecture specific stuff, it's just that all the architecture specific stuff should be guided by the compiler automatically correctly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do a check anyway, like a test C program where
yeah.
we have like specific architecture defines and see if it works when you run the a universal binary.
Yeah, you could look at like if there's like size of differences. I think I don't know if there are. I don't know what the sizes are on ARM64 versus x86-64.
Okay.
So well, there may not be size differences, but yeah.
No, but even like an if def, like maybe that's enough. Like maybe that's enough to
serve. Oh yeah.
If you get like separate object files for, so
yeah,
that would be interesting to think.
Yeah, how do our if defs work? Oh yeah, they're using platform.h, so they should be okay. Wow, cool.
Yeah, so I'll look for those lines that I had and add them to the PR.
Cool. That is that pull request. That took some time to discuss, but that was a helpful discussion. Moving on next to Pony C pull request 3907. This is remove usage of JIT tests. This is Gordon and Sean have been working on this one. A lot more commits from Sean. Looks like some CI tests are still failing. Do we have anything we want to discuss on this one in the call?
Yeah, it's just the macOS test that's failing. there's some linking problem. My plan is to, I think there's Mac OS instances on AWS now, so I might spin up one of those and see if I can investigate a little bit, because I don't have any Mac hardware.
Yeah, something also that I found out on the last sync call, which is cool, is if you go to Cirrus CI, you can do rerun with terminal access if you want to poke around.
Oh, nice.
So there's like a drop in the rerun button for a task. You can, there's a drop down and you can select rerun with terminal access, and it gives you a little terminal that you can run commands in. I found that to be super helpful once I learned about it.
Cool.
Okay. The next thing on our auto-generated agenda is pull request 3906. This is one that I opened for adding preliminary code for WebAssembly. I am not sure why the, I think we discussed it last week, but there's some kind of linking issue that I don't understand. So I need to come back to this, I guess, is the answer. This is basically just trying to, add LLVM as a target. To add WebAssembly as a target for LLVM and a target for us to compile to, if you specify a triple. So that's more platform stuff that needs to be worked out. One thing on the WebAssembly stuff that did come up in conversation in the sync call last week was this idea of, I'm not sure if that actually was in the sync call or if it was discussed in Zulip afterward, I can't remember, but this idea of not, so there's the challenge of how do we get things back from the browser thread onto one of the Pony threads where we can actually do Pony allocations that can be garbage collected within this, that are as owned by an actor. Because on the browser thread, there's no actor owner because there's no scheduler thread, and it's kind of a tricky thing. But Sean came up with a sort of like workaround that we could look at, which is for anything that needs an allocation on. Well, first of all, sending is already taken care of if you can grab the invoke context, the inject context. There's a way in Pony C, there's a way in the Pony runtime to get a hold of the inject context, which can be used to send messages from outside of the Pony schedule threads into inside of them. So it is possible to grab the inject context and use that to send things. And that works if what you need to send doesn't require any allocations to deal with. So if you're sending like a message, you do have to allocate the message, but it can be like a stack allocation that gets torn down right after the send, because the send always copies the message shallowly. But if there's anything that you need to do like a deep copy of, then any kind of buffer coming from mscripten that we need to grab, we need to like allocate that into something new and then free it. So there needs to be something on the Pony side, like the receiving code needs to like create a Pony allocated version of it and free that, or just try to use it immediately and then free it when it's done. I think, was it you, Borja, who thought of the idea of using a finalizer on a, so putting the thing that needs to be freed inside of a Pony class that has a finalizer and it's sort of like hidden inside there. And then as soon as the object, as soon as the Pony wrapper object gets collected, we can use the finalizer to collect that, which is an interesting. I think that helps because you don't have to make the second copy. You can read directly into that memory. So that's a very cool idea. And then I think the only kind of, Sean's been thinking about this as something that's kind of like baked into the runtime. And I think that's a reasonable place to start, but I, By baked into the runtime, I mean having the runtime know about the possible things you might want to do with MScript. And I'd like to try to see if it's possible to not have the Pony runtime know much about MScript and have this all, everything I just described kind of happening on, happening in the context of like a Pony code that has like a bare callback that's being executed. The only tricky thing that I still need to try to figure out a solution for is you can use an FFI call to grab the inject context to send a message. But if you try to send a message in the normal Pony way of just, it looks like a method call and the message send happens kind of automatically under the hood, that's not going to have the Pony con. Like, it's like you need to kind of grab the inject context and set that as the local context. And I can't remember whether pony.h has something to set the context. I don't think it does. So yeah, so we have a way to get the context, which is like for the current, it's like a thread local on the current thread. What would be cool is a way to set the context on the given, on the current thread, if there's not already a context there, and have it maybe return to you a Boolean of whether there was already one there or not. Like, I don't think we want to change the context of an existing thread. Oh, maybe we do. That's something to think about. But if we added a Pony set context to the runtime, then we could grab the inject context, set it as the local context, do the message send. Anything that we need to allocate, we have to use like malloc and free as FFI calls. And the free obviously happens in that destructor, the finalizer, like we mentioned before. And I think at that point, you'd have all the tools you need to be able to do all of the browser events entirely from Ponyland, which is a cool thing to get to, I think, if we can get there and not have the runtime know stuff about what the various MScript and events are and how to dispatch them.
So I'm not sure how the thing you mentioned about allocating memory would work. Like, if you're allocating something with malloc, you mean this would happen on the browser side, or?
Yes, within the browser thread. So in the Pony code that gives the bare callback that's running in the browser thread, calling malloc to get a Pony struct pointer, and then you initialize the struct pointer by hand, right? And then you can send that struct in a message as long as you set the inject context to be the context.
I'm not sure how that would play with the garbage collector. Like, if you're sending it to another actor, wouldn't it?
Yes. Which part are you concerned about? Sorry, was that?
Like, if you send that message allocated by hand to another Pony actor, like, the garbage collector might try to track it, right? Or
no. The garbage collector and maybe somebody like Sean will correct me if I'm wrong on this later in a in a Zulip message. But the garbage collector is only working based on things that it. So when you allocate something, it goes into the object map for that actor, and so that allocation is known about in the object map for that actor, and so. Non-Pony allocations are never, we never attempt to garbage collect them because we know this is not something, like each individual actor is looking for the things that it allocated. Mm-hmm. And it knows that, like, you know, this is not something I allocated, so I shouldn't try to free it. And every Pony actor will say the same thing. I didn't allocate this, so I shouldn't try to free it. Out of the box today, if you do non-Pony allocations, they just kind of work. Like, you have to do whatever you need to do to free them yourself, right? Communicating with whatever library allocated or whatever. So Pony won't free it for you, but the good news is Pony won't free it for you while you're still using it. So Pony won't try to free any pointers that it did not allocate.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. So I might try to work on an RFC at some point soon to set up the missing API call for like Pony set context. And I thought there was an API call for the inject context, but I'm not seeing it now. So there may need to be an inject context function as well. But with those two things in place, I think we would actually be in reasonable shape to satisfy the MScript and use case, as well as possibly Red's use case with GTK. I don't know, Red, you've been listening along. Do you have thoughts about that?
So the big problem is that I need to hand over a thread to GTK. But in theory, I can just spawn a P thread inside of Pony and do it that way. But then I don't have the context with which to send a message. So if you're saying that there is a way that I can use the Pony API to acquire a context I can send from within a Pony closure and then use that to send a message, the memory management I'm less concerned about because I can always copy and Pony alloc on the message. So that's less important to me, at least as a priority initially. But it's all about, can I just get a message out? That is the question.
Yeah. And I think that's what my suggestion, or, you know, like I won't call it a suggestion yet, but I think the way I'm picturing, I think, yes, the answer is yes, that you could spawn your pthread and when you spawn it, you initialize it by like, you know, running a Pony bear callback within the thread that grabs what's called the inject context and sets it as the current context for that thread. And as long as nobody calls Pony set context for any other reason from that thread, then that would remain the Pony context for that thread for its entire lifetime. And then, like, so once you initialize the thread in that way, it should allow you to send things from it.
That's absolutely perfect. I don't need to receive stuff in that thread. I only need to send it. So one way is perfect for me. Are the API calls available to do that now, or is that something that needs to be added?
Something that needs to be added, I think. I think there's also a language restriction in place, right? Like you ran into a compiler error that told you can't send messages from a bear callback, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so that would need to be loosened as well. That may be controversial in the sense that like it's removing a protection for somebody who didn't do the extra step of setting the inject context, and there's not a way to know that you already set the inject context from somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's not possible to call the, to call the actual raw FFI call either for the message sender for that particular object either, because Pony will complain and say, you know, that function name is already reserved by Pony.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that anyway. I mean, that's just kind of like I want to make this look a little bit nicer if we can, to the degree that we can. So the tricky thing is what happens today in a bear callback if you try to say allocate a Pony class? What does it do? Does it yell at you?
No, it lets you do it. It'll act, and it will also pre-populate it as well. It'll happily let you do that. I actually do that as part of my callbacks.
So is that a memory leak?
I don't know, but I'm kind of reliant on it, so I'm hoping not.
But you're doing this right now from a Pony thread, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Because you're currently doing the thing where you're like not ever yielding the thread back on a single threaded machine or on a multi-threaded machine.
So yeah, but I'm not. Yeah, you're not yielding the thread back. So yeah, it's definitely going to leak because there's nothing. There's no way to actually, you know, get to the.
Yeah. So there's already a leak for that reason
right now.
So okay. So yeah. So what I would expect to happen is if you did the thing where you spawned a P thread and set the inject context and then tried to like allocate a class or like any other kind of pony allocation within the P thread, I think that would probably crash at runtime.
Yeah, the only reason, like I said, the only reason I'm spawning a P thread is because...
spawning one right now, right?
No, I'm not. I'm basically blocking right now. I'm basically eating the entire. Pony scheduler. Yeah. If there was a way to, you know, so I can get GDK to yield happily between events. The problem is that Pony will, another Pony scheduler will basically steal. Will steal the act of the top. And so, I mean, if there was a way of stopping Pony from stealing, then you know that could be a that would actually be cleaner. But of course, there's probably going to be a severe like performance penalty to do, you know, a check on every single, you know, act of steal for a Boolean as to whether it's something is stealable. So,
yeah. And I mean, it could even be like deadlocks if, because I think the work stealing algorithm is designed to assume that you can steal from any thread. And I think that's the core like pushback that you've gotten on that from like Sean is that we don't, without doing like the formal verification work, like we don't know how the work stealing algorithm would perform in a context where there's a thread that could not be stolen.
Gotcha.
It could be not just a performance penalty, but also like perhaps, like I said, deadlocks or something other that's like not safe.
Gotcha.
Worse than a performance penalty.
Entirely break the mathematical model with which this entire thing is based upon.
Yeah. Yeah, and which is why I think spawning an independent non-pony P thread is the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the unfortunate thing, like I mentioned, is that I think if we make this work where you could do message send, like I think, if you did a P thread today and gave it a pony bear callback and tried to allocate a pony allocation in there, I think it would crash today. So that's not changing with my suggestion. So I guess it's not as controversial as I feared. What I'm talking about would set up like a context which would allow you to send messages but not allocate and set that up in the thread so that you could send messages and then removing the compiler requirement that forces you to not be able to send messages from a bear callback. And that's the only controversial part I think that's left there is because we're removing a compile time protection that's there in favor of runtime crash, but that protection is not always going to be valid if you can set the inject context.
But then again, if you could actually make that message send an FFI call instead of it being like what a pony message send looks like, then that would probably remove some of the concern about someone accidentally doing that without setting a context and then having it blow up in their face.
That's true.
Like a pony API call that was basically, you know, message send, and you give it an actor handle and what it is you want to send.
Sort of. I mean, it's tricky because that like polymorphic on the message type, right? And so, I mean, you could use like you tried to do. You could use the underlying like mangled name of the message send function, but it's not super cool to have Pony user land code relying on a specific mangling of that name, as you may change that mangling at any point for like, we find out the current mangling isn't working in some cases and we have to change it, right? We don't want that to break user right. land code, even user land FFI code. So, I mean, to me, if it's already true today that if I send a bear callback and running it in a separate prethread like will crash if I try to allocate a class, I think it's fair to say that it can also be allowed to crash when you send a message. Like, it's not really increasing the surface there. I don't know. I'll noodle on it some more and try to do an RFC, I think.
I'll test that as well, because I'm not 100% sure I remember which way that goes, but I'll test that.
Yeah, so the use case would be spawn a pthread, and within that pthread, try to do, you know, pony class.create or pony struct.create, and let me know if it crashes.
Right, and we did, because there was a time at one point where there was an API which allowed you to create pony objects from outside of Pony at one point, but I think that all got stripped out. So that's probably what I would have relied on, but no big.
I'll have to go back into history to see that. Because I have no idea how that would have been working. I mean, unless I'm just misunderstanding it. Because from what I was talking about with Sean, like, this is getting those allocations to work and have them be freeable by Pony later is it's a tricky problem that has like an unknown solution. So yeah, I don't know.
If I remember rightly, at some point during the documentation, there was documentation on how to compile your Pony program to make it a C library with a C API, so you could then include it in C code. But that was a long time ago. So I think probably all of that is, you know, I'm pretty sure all of the stuff that ripped out probably doesn't apply anymore because it was that long ago. Well, maybe I'm misremembering. It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look through the history of pony.h and see what used to be in there. I remember some stuff got removed, but I don't remember what got removed. So I'll take a look at what used to be there. Cool. What else is on our auto-generated agenda? We've got add readme for each examples entry. This is pull request 3788. It looks like this one.
I'm waiting on Ryan.
Yeah, waiting on Ryan to say it's ready for review. Cool. All right. Anything else that we want to discuss here in the remainder of our call while we're together? Okay, well then, thanks for everyone who has attended and everyone who's listening along to the recording later. I hope everyone has a great week. We'll see you next week for the next one. Bye.